importing cheese while we're recording a podcast.
How sophisticated.
Yeah, pass me the brie, please, Darren.
Twat. Anyway, yeah, so we're fucking twat waffling now. So back to Christmas story. Music.
Hang on, twat waffling? Like twaffling.
Yeah, twaffling.
That should be a thing. If we start to do that, I'm sorry, mate, you're twaffling
you're
at the moment.
Twaffling. Hello! And welcome to episode 24 of Darren and... You are. Episode 24 of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure.
Ho, ho, ho. I like saying that. Ho, ho, ho.
Good.
I'm feeling Christmassy, Darren. I'm feeling very Christmassy. I'm quite excited. It's Christmas.
Is it?
Nearly.
Oh, nearly, but not quite.
Nearly, but not quite. My name is Matt.
And my name is Darren.
And this week we are looking at the classic A Christmas Story.
Yeah, it's a new one for me.
It's a new one for me. This is the first one that we've done a new one together.
Yeah. Yeah. Never seen this film before, but I have now. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 1983 is A Christmas Story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll look into it in a minute. Should we have some facts?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's go into some facts from 1983. Okay, Darren, here are some facts from 1983. Actually, I think they're mostly UK-based this week.
Ooh.
Children's ITV starts.
Ooh, I remember all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Gone now, isn't it? Properly gone.
Is it?
Well, it's sort of got its own channel and just taken off the main stuff.
Oh, so you'd get home from school, watch a bit of CITV.
Yeah, or CBBC, one of the two.
Yep.
Broom Cupboard and all that.
The Broom Cupboard.
Yeah, good days.
As someone who loves his music, you'll appreciate this. The CD goes on sale in the UK.
Mmm, yeah.
Were you an early adopter?
No.
Were you not?
Well, when did I get my first job? I was 13, so it would have been...
1960.
Fuck you.
Right, okay.
1987. So I guess that's when I remember spending my first wage packet. Wage packet is always a Saturday job.
Mm.
So I'd get my money from the shop.
Was it in a little brown envelope?
Yeah, it was actually, yeah. And it was like £8 or something like that.
Ooh.
For a whole day's work. I went straight to Woolworths and spent it on a CD and had nothing to show for my butt from a CD.
Right, there we
are. TV themes, of all things. Yeah.
Well, speaking of money, the pound coin was introduced in England and Wales.
Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you would have got your pay packet with your pound coins in it.
Yeah. Proper big old £5 note though in 87.
Oh, yeah. Now that's what I call music started.
Was that 83, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because the hits was 1984. Yeah, yeah.
Seatbelt use for drivers and front seat passengers became mandatory.
Yeah, crazy that was never a thing.
I know, right?
Mental. It's just second nature now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And finally, I've got some top grossing films worldwide for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Any guesses at like in the top three?
Return of the Jedi?
Absolutely number one.
Okay. 83, what else would it have been? Would there have been another Superman in 83? No, go on.
Terms of Endearment was number two.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Nice jolly film.
Yeah. Number three was Flashdance.
Okay.
And just edging out of the top three was Trading Places, which we watched last week.
We did?
Yeah.
After recording last week, we got a little bit tipsy and watched Trading Places.
Yep.
And what a good film it was.
Yeah, we're going to have to go, well, maybe next Christmas.
Might have changed your opinion by then, but anyway, yeah, nice.
Now that we've heard some facts for 1983, how about we hear some of the charts? This is my favourite bit, actually.
A Christmas Story was released in the USA and Canada on the 18th of November 1983, and so this week we are looking at the UK Top 10 for the week commencing the 13th of November 1983. At number 10, it's a climb of 26 places for Assembly and Never Never. At number 9, it's a fall of one place from last week's number 8, it's Culture Club and Karma Chameleon. It's another faller at number 8, it's last week's number 7, The Safety Dance from Men Without Hats. At number 7, it's a climb of three places from last week's number 10, it's The Cure and The Love Cats. And at number 6, falling one place from last week's number 5, it's Adam Ant, Puss in Boots. Into the top 5, it's a climb of four places for Madness and The Sun and the Rain. And at number 4, falling two places from last week's number 2, it's Lionel Richie and All Night Long. At number 3, climbing one place from last week's number 4, it's Shaken Stevens and Cry Just a Little Bit. And at number two is another climber, climbing one place from last week's number three. It's Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson, Say, Say, Say. Which means it's a non-mover at number one. It's Billy Joel and Uptown Girl. And that was the chart for the week commencing the 13th of November, 1983.
Wow.
It's a lot of good tunes.
I love the number one.
Yeah.
That's such a good song.
It's a classic. It's an absolute classic.
Some songs there I don't recognise.
Right.
I don't know about Say, Say, Say.
Say, Say, Say. Yeah, it's, well, I think you recognise it if maybe. It's
like,
yeah.
Is it like, say, 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 say.
If you like.
Yeah, why not?
Say, say, say.
No. Okay. I remember Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney having a one about The Girl Is Mine, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that this might be the follow-up, or that might be the follow-up, one of the two. But yeah, it's a good tune.
Is there any just missing the charts?
Yeah.
Well, clearly there are some, but yeah, just any notable ones.
Well, Union of the Snake was at number 13 from Duran Duran. Love of the Common People, Paul Young, was at 17. Right By Your Side, Eurythmics. Thriller was a new entry at number 24.
Never heard of it.
New song from Howard Jones at 26. Yeah, lots of that. Hold Me Now, Thompson Twins was new at 31.
What a bloody
This Charming
tune
Man, new at 32. Superman by Black Knight at 34. What a dreadful song that is. But guaranteed to get people up on the floor at parties.
Yeah, Thompson Twins, though.
Oh, what a tune.
We were meant to see them this year, weren't we? Were they at Rewind?
No.
They weren't?
Not this year.
Damn it. In my head, the Thompson Twins were there.
But Howard Jones?
Oh, yeah. He was meant to be there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Nick Kershaw? Year.
Nick Kershaw? No, I can't see him there. Yeah, I'll Kiss the Bride, Elton John. Is there? Yeah, right. Yeah, leave that there. So, yes, A Christmas Story.
It's initial impressions then, mate. Yeah, I think, just judging by your facial expressions, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, I didn't hate it.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of exactly the same. I didn't hate it, but I just kind of went, yeah, all right.
It's, there were bits I really quite enjoyed,
mm-hmm.
and other bits I thought, God, this is naff, this is so slow.
Yeah, because I thought, for the sum up, I had ages.
Right.
I thought, well, the film's clearly like 2.5 hours,
mm-mm.
but no, 1:33, because it did drag a bit.
Yeah, but like I said, I didn't hate it. It was nice. No. It was a very Christmassy film. It's full of great music.
I think I know the problem.
Oh, okay.
I think if we'd have watched this in the 80s, as children, I think we'd be loving it now.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where the love for it comes from, and I'm trying not to be too down on it.
No.
But yeah, I think the best thing I can say is I didn't hate it.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. I think this is the first time we've both been a bit, not down on the film, but kind of not enthused by the entire thing.
I'm glad I watched it, though.
Yeah, I am. I watched it a couple of times, actually, mm-hmm. just to really give it a fair crack of the whip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then let's just go deeper into it, I suppose. Ooh,
okay, then.
Okay, regular listeners will know that at this point in the podcast, Matt has to give us the synopsis of the film, and he gets as many seconds as the film has minutes. So, as you mentioned just now, how long is this film?
1:33.
So it's you get 1:33 to give us the synopsis. Let me just get me timey-wimey thing ready. Are you ready?
I certainly am, Darren.
Okay, let's have the jingle. And go.
All Ralphie wants for Christmas is an official Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle with a compass in the stock and this thing which tells the time. Leaving hints for his parents doesn't seem to be working as he will shoot his eye out. Flick and Schwartz debate if a tongue will stick to a flagpole. Spoilers, it does. Flick finds this out the hard way, and after they rescue him, they get homework to write about what they want for Christmas and no guesses as to what little Ralphie writes about. Avoiding the local bullies, Scott Fargus and Grover Dill, Ralphie returns home and his dad has won a hideous lamp in a competition, which the wife hates. The boys listen to Little Orphan Annie on the radio and Ralphie returns from school the next day to find a decoder from the Orphan Annie secret society. It isn't what he imagined and again he is disappointed. While his dad is fixing the furnace, his mother accidentally breaks the lamp. The family go to pick a tree and on the way home they break down. Helping his father, young Ralphie drops the F-bomb and ends up sucking on some soap. Walking home after getting a C+ on his assignment, a pissed off Ralphie beats the shit out of Scott Fargus. There's only one thing left to do, which is speak to Santa. And after watching the Christmas parade, they go to a department store with a terrible Santa who again tells Ralphie that he will shoot his eye out. Christmas morning arrives, and after all is said and done, he does get his BB gun, and he does almost shoot his eye out. The neighbour's dogs eat the turkey, and this leaves the family to spend their Christmas lunch at a Chinese restaurant. The boys sleep with their presents as their parents look at the snow falling outside. Now, it was difficult to get sexy time in this week's synopsis, but I guess by saying it now, I actually did. Merry Christmas.
Hey, sexy time, my ass. Well, you know, the mum and dad might have gone upstairs for a bit of sexy time on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, I thought so.
He looked knackered when he got up. So, just remind us how long the film was.
133.
You did it in mega drum roll.
Ooh, with jingles.
With jingles. And I think you have to have a little drinky. 133. Nice.
I think we've hit the sweet spot. I think we should both drink to that.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, it's a Christmas miracle, Darren.
It's a Christmas miracle.
That is absolutely a Christmas miracle.
That's the first time it's happened in 24 episodes.
It won't happen again.
No. Not till next Christmas. Nice.
Oh, we can finish there. Listen, folks, we managed to do it.
Watch the film yourself, see what you think. Yeah, I think that's what the film's lacking, those sexy time.
Yeah, maybe. Or pace.
Okay, let's go into it, I suppose.
Let's go into it.
It's just a bizarre film. I don't really know what to say. It's
It starts on the right notes, though, because like, you've got the music playing. And
yeah,
you've got
it's a great opening.
Yeah,
it's a big opening as well. It's
the titles just look really Christmassy.
Yeah, yeah, and it's the bit where we all stood around the shop, looking in the window.
Oh.
It looks expensive. There's a lot of extras, a lot of cars. I don't know if... We talked briefly about it in the car, didn't we?
Yeah.
There's something about the look of the film that just... I don't know if it was the streaming site that I used to watch it. It looks a bit naff. I don't know if they've thrown away the negs.
I did it on YouTube and it's not... They've not cleaned it up very well at all. But it's the director of Porky's, isn't it?
Yes.
It's that sort of film... stock, that kind of look about it, isn't it?
It looks not cheap, but it looks like this, like you say, the film stock is cheap.
Looks like it's older than it is.
Yes, yeah.
Because you get another 80s film, War Games, that's cleaned up beautifully.
Yeah, crystal clear, whereas this looks dirty, it looks smeary, it looks blurry.
I don't think it was done for very much money. I mean, I don't think it was particularly expensive. I know they had to fight to get it done.
Yeah. I know they said that Jack Nicholson was interested in playing the dad.
Yeah.
And his fee alone would have doubled the budget for the film. So, I guess probably about $4 or $5 million budget for the film. I don't know.
But yeah, as you said at the beginning, it just that did look very Christmassy. Mm. And I thought, but also it took me by surprise because I knew it was an 80s film. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that it was set in the 40s, though.
Right, okay.
So when I started seeing these cars driving around, I went, what's going on here?
Nice. It's a period piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I didn't mind that. I liked it. I love the music. There's so much Christmassy music in it.
Oh, isn't
there? There's a lot there to like. And some of the performances are really good. Actually, to be fair, most of the performances are really good. Most of the kids are good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
It's just, I'm not sure... that they're given that much good stuff to work with.
I think part of it falls down to, I mean, it could be argued that it doesn't need to have loads and loads happen, but not a lot happens. Mm. I mean, once this... Right, okay. I mean, we've all been there, haven't we? We've all been there for Christmas. What was yours in the 80s? What was the one that you wanted so badly and you thought, right...
On the spot.
I'll tell you mine, then, while you think about yours.
Okay.
I loved the cartoon Mask.
Right.
So, you know, do you remember Mask?
It's vaguely,
They had these cars that transformed into airplanes and stuff like that. They had Boulder Hill, which was like a gas station, and that would turn into a defense unit. Anyway, and they all wore these masks. Funny enough, called Mask. And I was desperate to have Matt Tracker's car one Christmas, and that's all I could think about. I was wondering if I dropped enough hints. And when it was there on Christmas Day, I was the happiest little boy in the world because I had this toy.
Yeah, I get that. I remember, I guess, I think there were probably two things that I was really, really, really wanted Father Christmas to bring me.
Mm-hmm.
The first, I guess, was Space Lego.
Yeah, okay.
Which I did get.
Yes.
A whole box of space Lego and this grey sort of moon-shaped thing that you could build onto and buggies and things.
You just give me a flashback with the Lego man that's got the space helmet on and the chin strap would tend to break.
My memory's not that good. Or the other one was a remote control Knight Rider car.
Now you're talking my language.
Yeah, with the light that went... and I remember it was there and we used it, but the light didn't go... So he had to send it back. And then they got another one, and the light still didn't go. So I just had to put up with one that didn't go.
Oh, do you still have it?
I wish I did. Oh. I wish I did. It was awesome. I loved it.
Fantastic, man. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, every kid's been like that. They've had something they've really wanted. Yeah. So I could, relate to that.
Absolutely. That was... And I guess it's just like, it reminded me a bit, actually, of like a Charlie Brown episode. Where it's just, I didn't mind the fact that it wasn't full of incident or anything like that. It was just a story about a kid wanting something for Christmas and eventually getting it. But it just seemed a little bit too, again, we've said it before, I think it needed another rewrite.
Yeah, okay. It sort of reminds me of last week's film in the respect of there's a lot of little bits that happen.
Yes.
A bit like with the Griswolds.
Bitty.
A bit bitty, but no, but there's a little vignettes, isn't there, that happen throughout the
entire
thing.
I've actually got another, it said it felt disjointed.
Now, it was based on a book and or some stories that were in Playboy, I think, weren't they?
Playboy magazine, yeah. And the film is narrated by Jean Shepherd, who wrote the book or the stories for Playboy Mag. I'm just really torn with this. I didn't hate it.
No.
And I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but I don't get why it's such a national institution in America.
7.9 on IMDb.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
7.9. I mean... I'm with you. I didn't hate it, but maybe because I didn't grow up with it or whatever, I don't get why it's so... Because no one starts a film wanting to hate it.
Mm.
I wanted to love this and go, oh, this is going to be one of my new Christmas classics.
Yeah.
Would I have it on again? Maybe if I was doing something like decorating the room and had something in the background.
Yeah, I think I'd watch it again. I cannot put my finger on what just doesn't work for me. Like I say, most of the performances are good. The kids are good. They're funny. It's imaginative. It's a bit, for me, watching it as well, I was getting a bit fed up, but it was almost like a checklist of...
this needs to happen. And
But in terms of technically, like the director going, right, and now we'll do this, and now we'll do that. It's like almost like a film studies student.
Right, okay.
Given like carte blanche to make this film and trying to cram in everything that he's just learnt in the last semester or whatever.
Okay, yeah. What bits were stand out for you then? Because there's a couple for me.
I loved, I actually had a tear in my eye when he beat up the bully, because I think a lot of people will resonate with.
That felt a bit Stand By Me for me, if that makes sense. I don't know, for some reason, that whole, did resonate with me as well.
Yeah, and the fact, he didn't stop. So it's all this years and years and years of being bullied by this farcus idiot, just pours out and he basically kicks the shit out of him and then regrets it. He's terrified that he's in trouble. So that really resonated with me.
I think it was very brave. They kept it going for as long as they did.
Yeah, I don't think they do that now.
No. It would be like a couple of hits and there'd be no blood.
Exactly.
Yeah, I thought it was really brave how they kept that going.
Yeah, quite shocking. Quite shocking. By today's standards, but I mean, good. Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed that bit. I like the Christmas Day. The actual Christmas Day with the presents and all the fun and all that. It was nice.
And the trash that you get from your auntie or something like that.
And again, you get up so fucking early and open your presents as a kid, and then you're knackered and you fall asleep in the wrapping paper and stuff. Yeah. I like that. That was nice.
That was cute. And in fact, the end was really nice with the mum and dad sat by the tree and looking out and it's snowing. That was very Christmas cardy. That was very nice.
And it looked good. It's the mise-en-scene, as we said before, it was great.
It's a brilliant film. I love it.
It's the best film I've ever seen. But I liked it. The vistas were nice with all the snow and everything. And I think most of it was probably real.
Yeah.
So I liked that. What about you? Any standout moments?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the mall. Actually, with the...
Waiting to see Father Christmas.
Yeah, waiting to see Santa Claus. Yeah, the kid, the kid with the goggles and stuff like that.
Oh, he just keeps staring at him.
Yeah, so he wasn't scripted at all.
Was he not?
No, so when they went to shoot that day in the department store, I called it a mall, but yeah, department store, this kid was there, already dressed like that.
Oh, that is brilliant.
And the director said, would you want to be in it? And they were like, yeah, of course. So, he wasn't meant to be there whatsoever.
That's amazing. Oh, that is superb. I love that. That is funny.
It was nice because I looked at the design for the Santa thing. I thought, well, that's a bit interesting, having a slide going down. But then it just, I don't know, Santa was a bit weird and they all didn't care about their jobs and stuff. I was like...
Just before that, last night, before Sez went to bed, we watched Bad Santa.
Oh, yeah.
So the Santa in the department store reminded me of Billy Bob Thornton.
Yes.
And very bizarre. You know, again, another one off the checklist, a POV shot coming up over the stairs.
Yeah.
Just.
It was an interesting grotto, wasn't it? Having Santa up on high and having the kids slide down. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, we should have that. I'd have
and then that whole line thing where, you know, he stood in line, excuse me, kid, the line's back there. And you're like, oh, for God's sake.
But again, you know, it should have been funnier. The funny bit should have been funnier.
Yeah, because why did they point out, okay, I'm not staying 1 minute past nine.
And then
he got...
Completely ignore that.
It got to past nine and he still got to go on. I was like, well, where's the jeopardy there?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I thought they were going to let his brother go and then go, sorry, kid.
That's exactly what I thought was going to happen. He's going, no. But even after he went down the chute, he wasn't the last one.
No, they kept going. So what was the point in that line?
Exactly.
It was nice seeing the parade as well. I like a good Christmas parade.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that they used proper characters. They weren't afraid to use characters that, you know, in most other films now, they either wouldn't pay the fee to be able to use them, mm-hmm. or they'd make up like a Mickey Mouse or a...
Yeah, yeah, that's
or
it.
A Snow
Yeah, that was a bit weird, wasn't it? With like Mickey Mouse getting like beat up by the... the winged monkeys or
yeah,
something,
the monkeys
isn't it,
from Wizard of Oz.
So, I mean, there were good bits.
And I liked the swearing as well. Oh, fudge.
But
I didn't say fudge.
But I didn't. Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. Because you could just imagine going, oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck. Shit. So there's a lot. It just doesn't hang together properly for me.
I mean, we could talk about the characters in a bit, but I thought I wasn't going to like the dad very much, but I did.
Yeah.
I think, because looking at the age of the actor as well, I think he became a father a bit later.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously it's the 40s, so there's a lot of different attitudes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it's all based on actual experiences, isn't it? Jean or Jean Shepherd.
Yeah, and it's unclear as to when it's sort of set, because some of the things are 30s, and they're saying, like, if it was going to be this Friday, people have analysed it and said, well, then it would be 39, and then there's other people going, this is 40s.
Though,
but yeah, I mean, let's just assume it's the 40s.
Yeah.
But I wasn't prepared for that, though, Daz. I was prepared for it to be set in the 80s.
Right. But they did a good job of making it look 40s. You didn't see anything in the background that pulled you out. Oh, maybe that's because it's so fucking smeary you couldn't see any in the background. But
I just wish we saw DeLorean in the background. Obviously, we wouldn't know if Back to the Future wasn't a couple of years away, but see a little DeLorean driving down the road. Oh, he's travelled back to 1940 now.
Nice.
So the bits that don't work, there's a few of them. By the way, did you know it was real tobacco he was chewing when he was doing that flashback?
Really?
Apparently so.
Oh, God.
I mean, it was the
80s.
Yeah.
Anything was possible.
He's chewing tobacco.
Fucking hell. Yeah, you definitely wouldn't get away with that.
No, give me a kid tobacco.
Yeah, and also, yeah, we've got to mention it. The racist.
Oh, yeah. Racist. I mean, it's a very shoehorned 80s humour, if you like, but it does not hold up today.
No. I mean, luckily, that to me is, from what I could see, was sort of the only bit of the whole thing in the Chinese restaurant.
The fa-ra-ra-ra-ra. Yeah, I mean, like Daz and I were talking about this before we started recording, and there is they did a Christmas Story Live a couple of years ago, and where that bit was happening, instead of like the waiters sort of singing fa ra ra ra, they actually had a full on a cappella choir come out, sang beautifully. The father character said, "I wasn't expecting that." The restaurant manager turns us, "What were you expecting?" And that's nice, man. Nice. It's a nice way to kind of go, do you know what? Yeah, we've moved on.
Exactly.
That's not acceptable.
We are referencing that we did it, and now we're putting that right.
But yeah, so that's the there's some other interesting bits as well, Daz, that I managed to pick up, but maybe we'll talk about that in the next section.
Okay.
I think
okay, just dangle that carrot and then whip it away.
Hey,
well, should we have a quick break then?
Yeah, so no, I mean, I don't think there's anything else. I mean,
I'm sure we can dip back into things as we go through characters and things.
Okay, then Merry Christmas, Darren. Let's have another drink,
you filthy animal. This month's special Patreon episode is available now. This week, we are going to be looking at some favourite songs.
The year we're looking at is 1981.
It's been very, very hard.
I just want you to edit it so you just gone, it's very hard.
That's one of your top five songs of the whole fucking year.
And what a drum solo.
Yeah. And it's one of those songs that when I do, it's guaranteed to get people up on the floor dancing.
See, this is going to be a 30-40 minute advert for Darren, the ultimate 80s tribute.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic.
Yeah. Sorry, did you say something?
Nothing.
No.
It's a montage song.
You make my dreams come true. Put off the top spot by What's the Matter You? Hey, girl, I know. I mean, that's a fucking injustice.
I mean, the one I always put on the list, I'd said to Darren earlier, was Rabbit by Chaz and Dave. So there we are. Those are our top fives from 1981.
All 80s Adventure Patreon special episodes are available via subscription from the website patreon.com/80sadventure or check out 80sadventure.co.uk for further details.
And we're back!
Yes, part two of our look at A Christmas Story from 1983.
It's an interesting cast, isn't it?
Yes.
Would you?
Yes. What? It's a very interesting cast.
But before we get into the interesting cast,
no.
Would you like to hear some alternative castings, Daz?
Nah.
Okay, then.
Get on.
Okay, so as you mentioned earlier, Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
So he was almost cast as Old Man Parker.
Yeah.
From what I understand, they saw the lad who played Ralphie, what's it?
Peter Billingsley.
That's right. They saw him relatively early on. Mm-hmm. I think maybe one of the first actors they saw.
Okay.
Went on to see thousands of other kids and then went back to him.
Fair enough.
So some of the alternatives were
Will
Wheaton.
Okay, makes sense.
And Sean Astin.
Mm-hmm.
So those were a couple that might have been considered, but
yeah.
I didn't see anything else, but I'm sure there's plenty of Hollywood kids back in, because if those guys were auditioning, there's plenty.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Plenty of other brats.
Yeah, I mean, it could have been people like Kiefer or who knows?
Yeah.
But he was good.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, I really like the kids and I think they work together really well.
Uh-huh.
You got that grin on your face. You're going to tell me about the guy who went into porn?
Yeah. Yes, I am. Scott Schwartz. I mean, so he played Flick. Flick was the guy that got his tongue stuck, wasn't it, to the flagpole? And then later on, he would stick his tongue in many other things.
Whee!
And he apparently worked behind the scenes in porn and then did a bit himself.
Yeah, I'd known as Scotty Schwartz, I think.
Well, you've got the DVDs, but
yeah. Interesting.
Back to Billingsley, Billingsley?
Peter Billingsley, yeah.
Yeah. So he's done all right, isn't he?
Yeah, actually.
As a producer.
Yeah, but also as an actor again as well. Says was saying she was watching something yesterday, maybe the day before. She went, see him there. That's the kid in The Christmas Story.
Oh, right, okay.
Spider-Man or something like that. But yeah.
So, yeah, he's still recognisable.
Yeah.
As it's those blue eyes, isn't it?
He's got one of those faces, though, hasn't he? I guess that image, even though I hadn't seen the film until this week, that image of him with the glasses smiling up.
Yeah, it's iconic. Really iconic. Yeah,
it's very, very familiar.
Interestingly, looking at his IMDb, he did a couple of episodes of The Wonder Years.
Right.
Now, from what I've read, Wonder Years was inspired by this film.
Okay. Doesn't surprise me.
The idea of having the olden narration.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Sorry, what a weird offshoot. Daniel Stern in Wonder Years as the older Kevin Arnold.
So I don't remember it very well. I wasn't an avid fan of Wonder Years, but I loved it.
And then years later I found out Marv?
Marv, yeah.
Marv is the older Kevin, Anyway, I think he did a cracking job. He was about 12 at the time, but imagine carrying that film at 12 years old.
It's a lot to do. But all the other boys around him as well in school,
they're
a good little gang. You know, Flick's a funny character, and Schwartz, and even the bullies.
Yeah.
Got a very strange look.
Yeah.
Very strange look.
And they were so meticulously described as well, weren't they? Like, was it yellow eyes and green teeth?
Yes.
Things like that.
Scott Farkas.
Scott, yeah. Because I thought he was saying Scott, but no, Scott Farkas.
Yeah.
And Grover Dill.
Yeah, great. And I like the kids in the class. They have fun. You know, they dare each other. They double dare each other. They triple dog dare each other.
But he skipped the triple dare, you know.
Straight to the triple dog dare. And I know people that have licked, put their tongue against a frozen bar and got stuck.
You know, because of this, if we're out drinking sometime, it's going to happen.
Well, thank God we're in lockdown, so we can't go out drinking.
So it will bloody happen one day, yeah. Won't it?
Come on, let's do it.
No, yeah. No. You do a Christmas story. I'll do a Christmas story.
I'll do it if you do it.
So the firefighters were called last night for two middle-aged men that had stuck their tongues
two
to a pole.
Fucking idiots.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, the kids do a very, very, very good job.
Yeah, they're likeable. They're likeable.
I mean, the little brother, bless him as well, you know, just wrapped up.
I find him really funny.
My little brother used to be wrapped up. My mum used to wrap up my little brother like that. I mean, you're like the Stay Puft Marshmallow, man. You can hardly walk. I can't put my arms down.
His arms down and kept flying up again. Oh, that's funny. That's funny. I like the mum as well. I remember the mum.
Yep.
Melinda Dillon. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at her watching it thinking, who the hell is that? And then, of course, it's like, shit, of course. Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Bigfoot and the Hendersons. She's the mother of Bigfoot and the Hendersons.
God, yeah.
I love that film. We've got to get that on the list.
We do. Now,
or Harry and the Hendersons.
Is it Harry and the Hendersons over here or Bigfoot and the Hendersons over here?
Bigfoot and the Hendersons over here.
Harry and the Hendersons in the States, right.
States, yeah. That's such a great film. I loved that film when I was a kid.
So did I. I mean, I hope it holds up. It's John Lithgow as well, isn't it?
John Lithgow as well. Yeah. And
who may or may not be an upcoming film of ours.
Yeah, what's he called? British guy. Played the Belgian detective. Come on, brain. Kick in now.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm letting you sweat. I'm letting you sweat.
Bastard.
Touché.
Touché, motherfucker.
Touché,
yeah, man. David Touché. David or his brother? One's a newsreader, one's an actor. Yeah. Welcome to being 46.
Old man Parker, then.
Yeah. Again, really familiar, but having looked at his IMDb, there's nothing there that makes me go, oh, of course.
Mm.
Very, very familiar actor.
Well, he'd been working a while, I guess.
Yeah, didn't he start like acting in the 40s, I think, wasn't it?
Probably.
Yeah.
So he had a big...
Pardon?
Yeah, he was born in... But he was born in 22, right? So that would have made him 60
yeah.
when this came out. So, yeah.
But that still did things like Raw Deal and Dead Heat after this. That's amazing.
But that's why I don't know if it was intentional, whether they kind of went, oh, let's have him.
Mm-hmm.
But you know he's going to be an older father and that older detached father.
Well, I guess, you know, if Shepherd did have an older father, then that's the sort of look they were going for. So, yeah.
You got the teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, who was pregnant at the time, so that's why they didn't show her in full body shots.
Well, then they padded her out, the rest, so that it didn't look like she was a single pregnant lady in the 40s.
Well, yeah, of course.
And yeah, I keep seeing this, like, I saw it in the credits, the whole Flash Gordon stuff.
Apparently that was edited out.
Yeah, there was like another one of his dream sequences where he helped Flash Gordon defeat Ming the Merciless.
But I guess, yeah, again, at the time, in the 40s, that was what you'd go to the cinema to watch. Saturday morning series. Because as we see in the film, they sit around the wireless or the radio to listen to things. And then a treat would be to go to the cinema to watch things like Flash Gordon.
See, I remember my mother telling me about listening to the radio and sitting in front of it and watching it almost like a television. Yeah. So because it was that enthralling.
Yeah, I remember Dad saying exactly the same about Dick Barton and things like that, which, I mean, I've heard the music. The theme tune, so I've never actually listened to any episodes of it. But yeah, I guess that was the thing.
I mean, I remember there was, what was it, Hancock's Half Hour?
Yeah, yeah.
I've listened to some old radio shows, and it's really interesting listening back on them, isn't it?
Yeah, it's how people earned their spurs, wasn't it? That's how they came into the acting world. Television was very much a poor cousin, poor relation to things like radio and cinema.
And also something that, again, is relatable to me. I know we're off on a tangent here. Is like writing off to these clubs.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And getting membership of the secret society. I mean, I know I was a member of the Beano Club.
Yeah.
And I had a Nasher badge.
Nice.
And which was like, I don't know, like made of like plastic and it felt like carrier bags.
But you would wait for this stuff to arrive.
Oh my God,
it was so exciting when it did. Yeah, I loved it.
I mean, I remember waiting for ages for my MC Hammer Pepsi cup.
Okay. Yeah, maybe not quite the same, but yeah.
But it is stuff like that. You kind of go, I'm not going to get this anywhere else. I can only get it by sending away God knows how many tokens. And
saving up tokens. Yeah, I mean, I remember there was a big thing when me and my sister were kids. And there was an advert on the TV for Cadbury's drinking chocolate, I think it was. And they had square mugs that looked, you know, the cubes of Cadbury's chocolate.
Yeah, and they were purple. Is that right? Or were they chocolate-coloured?
They were chocolate-coloured. And they looked like that. With a handle and you could like collect all the tokens in the wrappers and send away. And I think we all had one each. They lasted about 5 minutes. They were so fucking fragile.
Oh yeah. Well, my MC Hammer cup's still going. So
we go. What?
Because you can't touch this.
Yeah. Nice. Don't get it.
No, I think I still have my MC Hammer card. I'm going to try and dig that out. If I do find it, we'll put a picture on Facebook or Twitter.
Nice. Anyway, back to the cast of A Christmas Story.
Oh, yeah, the cast. I mean, I think we've covered a lot of them. I mean, it's a relatively small cast, isn't it?
And it's a good cast. I like the dad. I like the mum. I like the kids.
Sorry, how brutal was it, by the way, when about the whole swearing thing, rang up the other mother. He did what? And then all of a sudden, you're like, what have I done, mum? And you hear, like, this kid getting beaten the piss out of. I was like, oh.
Fucking lying bastard. Did you ever get a bar of soap in your mouth?
No, because we'd moved on by then, right. So I had washing up liquid in the mouth.
Fucking hell, that's harsh.
Yeah, no, my grandmother, like, she was from Belfast, and she was very old school. Yeah, if I swore, yeah, it would be washing up liquid. Maybe a bit of soap thrown in for good measure, but it was washing up liquid in the mouth.
No, I had a bar of soap in my mouth. I remember Shell, my sister, having a bar of soap, or a cake of soap, as they called it then, a bar of soap put in her mouth. Michelle, being the awkward cow that she is, she's even more defiant than I am, she bit into it.
Oh my God.
And apparently for hours and hours, they were washing, it's all stuck in her teeth, just foaming up for fucking brilliant.
I specifically remember I was about, I think, 9, walking back from primary school with my mother. I said, Mum, when can I swear? She went, when you're 18. I was like, okay. Honestly, I kid you not, Darren.
Did you remind her?
No, when I turned 18, the first thing I did, it was like, I walked in, effed and jeffed. She went, what are you doing? I said, you told me when I was 18, I could swear.
All right, you fucker.
And she was like, how can you remember that? I was like,
It's funny what you remember, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Right, well, we've definitely gone right on a tangent with this.
Yeah.
Why not? It's Christmas.
Write in and let us know, give us your Christmas memories. And we'd love to read this sort of stuff out on a future podcast.
Yeah,
it'd be
we really
great
would.
To hear.
It's nice to hear your Christmas memories.
Yeah, see if you're all as fucked up as we are.
Anything else to say about the cast, buddy?
No, I don't think so. Like I say, it's a small cast on the whole. There's people like the Christmas tree salesman and the freight guy, they turn up. And
they're okay, but there's no one I've kind of gone, oh, you're terrible.
No.
It's a good, solid cast.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I think that's a fair thing to say.
All right, then. Well, how about we take another break, and then we got a bit of a chat about the music.
Music.
And a bit of quiz.
Yeah, I've let the last 2 weeks go, haven't I?
Not let them go. It's just I've just been training, Darren. I've been training.
Time to go hard or go home, Daz.
Oh, dear. I'm worried. What's going on? Are you all right, Daz?
I'm so cold.
Why are you so cold?
I've lost my favourite Def Leppard t-shirt. Oh, if only I knew somewhere else to buy another t-shirt.
Do you know what, Darren? It's funny you should say that because we now have 80s Adventure t-shirts.
What?
Yeah. All you've got to do is head over to 80sadventure.com, click shop and see what we have on offer. It's a way of supporting the show and there's also some fun designs with a lovely 80s feel.
80s Adventure t-shirts. Oh, I'm going to go to the shop right now. Bye.
Darren, it's an online shop.
And we're back.
Yes, our final part tonight of our look at 1983's A Christmas Story.
Christmas Story!
Well, quite. see the WKD blues kicking in now.
And the beer. Yep.
And the beer.
Hey, this is nice. We're having a few Christmas drinks. We haven't done port over Christmas yet.
Well, it's not technically. It's fucking still November. So
it's
at the time of recording.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
Anyway. And listen, boys and girls, if you've made it this far, then well done.
Yeah, it's only 4 hours to go. So, music in the film.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of it. Full stop.
Yeah?
Yeah. A lot of it. Two composers for the original score, Carl Zittra and Paul Zaza.
Zittra and Zaza. Nice.
Yeah. And they've worked with Bob Clark a lot. Bob Clark obviously was the director.
Yeah.
We said about Porky's, didn't we? But he also did Black Christmas and Rhinestone. Remember Rhinestone with Dolly Parton and Sylvester Stallone?
No.
Yeah, he was responsible for that.
Okay.
But anyway, yes, Zittra and Zaza, they worked with him on...
really? I don't know. I just... just.
But they worked with him on Black Christmas and Porky's 1 and 2. They also did Prom Night. Zaza did Prom Night 1, 2, 3 and 4. My Bloody Valentine. Loose Cannons. Do you remember Loose Cannons?
Name rings a bell.
So yeah, they were responsible for the original bits of the score. And the original bits of the score I really like. They're very appropriate when you got the flashbacks with the robbers, the burglars. It's very sort of Lauren Hardy, that sort of black and white piano. So yeah, I mean, that's the music's very appropriate, and I really liked it. It's nothing memorable. There's nothing you take away from it.
What was it? There's something. There's a very famous bit of music as well. Just after he drops the F bomb.
There's lots of famous bits of music. I mean, for the baddies, for a start, you've got Peter and the Wolf.
Right.
Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf. Have you ever heard? Listen to Peter and the Wolf.
No, probably not.
Do it. It's only about 30 minutes long, 40 minutes long, but it's a really good introduction to the instruments of an orchestra. So each character in the story of Peter and the Wolf gets its own instrument.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's awesome. So they use the wolf, which bizarrely, Farkas is a Hungarian word for wolf. They use the wolf's theme from Peter and the Wolf for Farkas.
Oh.
And it's great. I really like it.
Just to say, though, if you are into wolves, then please go into our back catalogue and check out our review for Teen Wolf.
I thought you were going to say, we haven't done Company of Wolves. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we did Teen Wolf, though.
We did, yeah. Oh, yeah, check it out. We'll check out our back catalogue anyway.
Hey!
Hey! So, yeah, I mean, there's so much music in this film. It's almost like it's through scored. It's almost like a musical that's sung through. There's pretty much music in every bit.
I notice, again, it's a bit like National Lampoon's last week. I remember the Christmas songs, but I don't remember any incidental music.
And I guess that's sort of what it should do.
I suppose so. It's like,
it doesn't draw you out.
If you walk out of a show going, oh, the lighting was great, well, why are you looking at the lighting and not the performance?
Well, there's the phrase, you don't walk out of a show whistling the scenery.
that's a good phrase, yeah.
So, there's so much music, and it's almost completely underscored. And as I say, you've got Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf there for the baddies. You've got a lot of Tchaikovsky in there from Hamlet and Romeo and Juliet, and that's there. Benjamin Britten's Ceremony of Carols.
That was it. It was Tchaikovsky that was playing when after he dropped the F-bomb.
Yes. Yeah.
So I know this because Tchaikovsky is my mother's absolute favourite.
Right.
I know that sounds really... Oh, yes, my mother loves Tchaikovsky, but it really is. She genuinely loves Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, I can't argue that. Well, she's into her ballet as well, isn't she?
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. But then there's all the carols and stuff turn up. You've got Deck the Halls and Silent Night, Oh Tannenbaum. Loads of Christmas songs. Here We Come a Caroling, Jingle Bells, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Bing Crosby. There's two Bing Crosby songs in there. Just, it's great.
Never heard of him.
Oh, you heathen.
No, but that's the thing. So I'd be interested to see how much original music would be, because there is a musical version of this, right?
Yes, apparently so, yeah. Yeah.
So how much original music, how much is them singing Christmas songs? Yep. So yeah, it'd be worth checking out.
I didn't look into the musical at all because I think it's from 2000, isn't it? So mm-hmm. It's not under our remix.
No. We strictly deal with the 80s,
God,
I'm afraid.
Damn it.
You know? 80s police.
Yeah, for fuck's sake. But I like the music. As I said,
you can't fault it.
There's so much of it.
And it was very
really
nice.
Christmassy.
At the end with the snow falling, it just you did music. It was like a Christmas card, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all I can say about the music, really. It's I do suggest, if you've never seen this film, and you know, I would stake my left testicle, and people in this country probably haven't seen this film.
It's not very popular in the UK.
Popular. It might be more popular if people see it, but it's definitely not widespread, is it? It's not well known in the UK, which is why I think it took us a long time to actually find copies to watch.
Yeah,
but if you're in the UK, you've never seen this film.
5 minutes. I went to YouTube and bought it. Whatever,
cocky. But if you're in the UK, you've not seen it, I suggest you do. Just give it a whirl. See what you think. It will be interesting to hear if you have the same reaction as us.
Yeah. And I'm still subscribed to the fact that if we'd have watched this growing up, because I'm sure there's plenty of films we've already covered and will cover that we're going to be looking back and going, oh, it's still great. It's still great. Even though it probably isn't.
Probably, yeah. You're right. You're right. For me, it's like... it's like a tryout version of Home Alone.
Right. Yes. 40s. Yeah, maybe.
Or an episode, a live action episode of Charlie Brown.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah. So there we go. Shall we?
Well,
It's time, isn't it?
Right, yeah, it's time. It's time.
Okay. Right then. Yeah, I threw away the last 2 weeks.
You didn't throw it away. No, it's just you told me to, you told me to up my game.
Okay. Well, I think I threw away the last 2 weeks, so this could mean I go behind if you win this week.
Which would be the first time ever, I think.
Will it?
I think so.
Fuck.
I know.
No pressure at all.
I know the second round of questions and stuff, you were hammering me for ages.
That's the way you like it, though. Slag. All right, then. Eyes down.
Eyes down for a full house.
So, being an even-numbered episode means I get to go first.
Yes, it does.
Which I don't like because I don't get to judge where your questions are going to be. But I'm going to go with them. Question one.
Okay. Indeed. I feel like the Millionaire music needs to be playing now, like...
Yeah.
Not 80s.
No. See, I wish I wanted to... I don't know where to judge it. Right. Question one. What song is written on the teacher's blackboard?
I must say, I didn't clock this specifically, but I'm going to punt at something like, I think in the distance of my memory, it might be O Come All Ye Faithful.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
No. Yankee Doodle.
Okay.
Whew. I don't know where my pen is. Okay, well, that's one to me. Whew. Fuck for that.
Okay. All right then, Darren.
You've got that fucking look on your face. I don't like it.
I'm just looking at some questions.
Yeah.
Question one for you.
Yeah.
Where did Ralphie tell his mum that Flick saw some grizzly bears?
Do you want the name of the candy shop?
Yep.
Yes. Pulaski's Candy Shop.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Correct.
Oh, come on. Because I tried to remember it as Polanski's. Because
the... Yes.
But okay. Ooh, two to me then.
God, you really look really nervous.
Yeah, because I... Yeah. No. I'm focused.
I mean, it's unlike you to get involved in a quiz, Darren. It's unlike you.
I know. It's something like quiz, as if. Right, okay, let's go with that one. Question number two.
Yes.
What make is the Parker family's oven?
I have no clue about this, I don't know.
See, I think you might have clocked it. Moffat.
No, I didn't.
He'll get that. Yeah, no, I thought you had
not.
It. I thought you'd have that.
I did not.
Oh, 3-0 so far.
Right, I've got to try
come
and...
Come on.
I've got to try and get this back now. Okay, how many dogs does Ralphie say his neighbours have?
Ooh. Six.
Final answer.
Yeah.
785.
What? That's what he said.
Yeah, he says they had 785 hound dogs.
Okay. Yeah, no, you got me. Okay, 3-1. Oh, is this question three then? Let's complete the quote then, isn't it?
Oh my God.
See, I think you might get this one.
I think you might hammer me this week.
Right, okay. The regular listeners will know that my question three is always a complete the quote. So it's adult Ralphie as the voiceover. And the quote is, Aunt Clara had for years laboured under the delusion that I was not only perpetually 4 years old.
If we were playing chess right now, I'd be knocking over my king. No idea. No idea.
Okay, so I thought you might get it. Aunt Clara had for years laboured under the delusion that I was not only perpetually 4 years old, but also a girl.
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Oh, okay. 4-1.
4-1. I mean, obviously, clearly you've won this week. Okay. Which baseball player was Ralphie's dad upset that was being traded?
Bullfrog.
Yep. Yeah, you.
I had to look away because that was one of my questions as well.
Yeah, you, yeah, that's it.
5-1. Come on!
Just when they think he's out.
Yeah, nice.
Some of the other questions?
You go first.
Okay, so, and actually in said transfer,
yeah.
Who did the Sox receive in that sort of... You got that too, yeah?
Four-eyed Schottenhaufen.
Yes.
Crankenshaften.
We were really going for it this week, weren't we?
Yeah. What did Flick say he was getting his dad for Christmas?
Like a squirty flower thing.
Yeah, squirt and flower gag.
Yeah. All right, this was really harsh, and I thought I'm really going to pull this out if I had to.
Right.
At the tram at the beginning, what number was on it?
I have no idea.
2726.
Oh. So. Oh, that's very harsh, man.
That, well, that's why I didn't play it. Oh, I didn't play it. Anything else?
What street do the Parkers live on?
Is it... it's a manor, Cleveland or something, yeah.
Cleveland Street. What did some clodhopper down in Griffin, Indiana do?
He swallowed a yo-yo. Yeah. Yes. What is Ralphie's preference when it comes to tasting soap?
Looks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, there
yeah.
we go.
Yeah, nice.
We were sort of on the same page yeah. this week, a lot.
One of the ones I went for, but I thought, too obvious. What's Ralphie's teacher called?
Miss Shields.
Yeah. But what mag is Ralphie reading at the beginning?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I had to pause it. I think it's Boy's Life. I couldn't quite see. And what mag does he hide it inside?
A Look.
Look.
Yep. And that was the Shirley Temple Meets Santa Claus edition.
Oh, God, that's quite sad.
Yeah, we really went into this, didn't we?
What Disney characters are on display in the shop window?
I wouldn't have got that.
Snow White and Doc. In the...
That's in from Back to the Future.
Yeah. In the flashbacks or the dream sequence with the burglars, mm-hmm. what does Ralphie call his rifle?
Old Blue.
Old Blue, yeah. And finally, what car or what make a car does Ralphie's dad drive?
Is it a Pontiac?
It's an Oldsmobile.
Oldsmobile, yeah. Right.
I was also going to ask, well, how long did he want to take to change the tyre?
He wanted to take 4 minutes, but he took eight.
Yeah, so there we go.
So we've really been paying attention in these films, haven't
yes.
we?
Yeah, maybe we should watch the film rather than just try to stitch each other up.
Oh, no, see, I watched it the first time, and then second time is when I did my questions.
Nice.
Well, wow.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
So 3-2.
Ooh, nice.
How is that possible?
Why?
We're in episode 24.
Eh? Yeah, how is that possible? We're on episode 25. Oh, no, of course.
20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Because it started
at 20.
Did we start at
20 or 21?
Yeah, we started... Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, fucking doodle fuck. Oh, fudge. Yeah, wait. We'll look at it. We'll look at it again.
Okay.
Maybe so, it's 25 then.
It can't...
Can it be? Oh, boy.
Oh, bother. Oh, yeah, it must... No. Well, whatever episode we're on, it is 3-2, so it must be, yeah.
You should be used to this by now. You're useless and pissed we are by this point. But anyway, I won tonight, so that's good. And,
I won tonight, so that is good.
What? And your mum likes opera and Tchaikovsky.
Yes, she does.
Oh, fuck it. Let's get more pissed. Last orders.
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
So there we go. Christmas Story. We've done it.
We've done it. And I've not had a bad time with it. It just wasn't the classic. I mean, it doesn't... For me, it's not worth the 7.9 on IMDb.
No, I think you're right.
I mean, a lot of people are giving it 9s and 10s, going, classic, amazing, wonderful. I'm like,
but again, I guess it depends what point it hits you in your life, what point you watch it. And like you say, you know, we're going to do a lot of films that we probably adore that people go, what the fuck? It's shit. But I don't think the film's shit. I will say that. I think, for me, it just doesn't hang together that well. It could have done with another rewrite, I think, or just an injection of something else, or tightening up. Maybe a 60 or 70 minute film rather than a 93 minute film. But there's things that I really do like.
Yeah, mate, I'm honestly on the same page. It's maybe it'll go on again while I'm doing something else. Yeah. But. Well, probably not, because I only rented it. I didn't buy it.
Right.
So, but yeah, it was fine.
And at the end of the day, it's an 80s Christmas film.
And there were some touching moments in there.
Yeah, there really are.
And it sparked a nice discussion with us where I found out that actually you really enjoyed your Knight Rider kit car.
Yes, I did. So scores then. Scores on the doors, Miss Ford.
I don't want to be harsh on this film, but I can't, in all good conscience, go that high with it.
Okay.
I think it had some nice moments. As I said, the soundtrack, the ambience, and I suppose the special place it holds in people's hearts. But I would be hard-pushed to put this above a 5.
Okay. Yeah, I see where you're coming from. And I agree. I think the soundtrack is fantastic. There's some really good performances in it, especially from the kids. I really like the kids are funny. There's some moments in it that are really good, but there's a lot of stuff that isn't. There's a lot of stuff that just doesn't. And it's not even padding, really. Well, some of it, I suppose, is a little bit of padding, but other stuff is just fluff that just I don't know. I can't really put my finger on why it doesn't quite work.
Yeah.
But the bits that do work, I really liked. maybe a lot of it comes down to the actual look of the film as well. It looks really bad quality. And if you have the same on, you know, buy from YouTube, and yep. I had the same from...
Yeah, there's no remaster.
Yeah, it's maybe that has affected it. But I'm going to go, and I'm going to be generous, mm-hmm. and I'm going to give it a 6.
In that case, I'm going to give it a 4.
In that case, I'm going to give it a 7.
Well, in that case, I'm giving it a 3.
I'm giving it a 10. It's the best film ever.
I'm giving it a 0. Fuck it. So we got a 5 and a 6, yeah?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I will go back and watch it again. And I did enjoy bits of it. Just, I don't know. Maybe it didn't catch me at the time it should have.
Hey, you know, what it has done is it's allowed us to have a good Christmas chat, a couple of drinks. And as we say, it's not a bad film.
And it's a new film.
It's a new film for us completely. The first one in our podcast history of all 24, maybe 25 episodes. We don't know.
20-something episodes.
20-something episodes where we've never seen this film. However, that's it.
So there we go. It's 11 out of 20 from us.
11 out of 20.
Yeah. What about next week?
Well, next week.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. You don't know what it is.
No.
Are you ready for the tagline?
Go on then.
So it's from 1985.
Is that the tagline?
Yes.
Oh.
So it's from 1985. And the tagline is, mm-hmm. Guess who's coming to town?
Sidney Poitier. He's coming to dinner.
No.
Oh.
Any other guesses?
Shaking Stevens.
Nope. Anymore.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Oh, that would be way too obvious. If you want to find out what next week's film is, then please check out our Facebook on a Wednesday where the trailer for next week's film will drop.
Yeah, drop? It'll break if it drops.
What?
There we go. Yes. Well, that was our look at Christmas Story from 1983.
Agree, disagree, let us know. Get in touch. Yeah, podcast at aidsadventure.com.
Always good to hear from you.
Fantastic to hear from you. And I can't believe we've only got one Christmas film left.
I know. This year.
I know. Well, I guess that's it then. Until next week, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheesy!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great film.